Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 3 of our study of 1st and 2nd Timothy. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1st Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Before we jump in today, I want to encourage you to think about leading a 10-week Bible study with your home group or your Sunday school class or a group of friends or family that you have nearby. I really do believe that the printed 10-week Bible study guides that we have are a great way to lead you and those that you love around you into a deeper walk and a deeper understanding of God. It's a way to really become biblically literate in our biblically illiterate world. We need God's word now more than ever. And the people around you need it. So I want to encourage you to think about leading one of those studies. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I want to pause right there. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul, there are so many controversial things that Paul has said in this book. This is a difficult, difficult book to go through for us in our culture in 2022, which is when I'm recording this. You may be listening to this, watching this months, years later. But right now, this entire book is a difficult book to go through. So many challenging things. And what Paul is about to say, I think for our culture, the way our culture, at least the United States, but I think a lot of the West, what I would consider the West, almost anybody hearing me in English and in the English-speaking world, I think what he's about to say is the most challenging part of this entire book. I think it's the thing in this, in 1 Timothy, that cuts to the heart of us in our culture more than anything else in this book. I really do believe that. All of the stuff about men and women and leadership and all those things, those are really hot topics. This isn't a hot topic in our culture. But it really should be. It really should be. The emphasis that Paul puts on this, I think this is the most challenging part of this book to us in our culture. And it's probably the one that it would be the easiest to just gloss right over. Let's continue reading verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. I can't remember the last time I thought to myself, I have food today and I have clothes on my back. I'm content. I honestly can't. There may not have ever been a day where I actually thought that to myself. Everything in our culture, everything in our lifestyle, everything about who we are as Americans, where I'm from, or as English speakers from the West, we live in this consumeristic world where we engage in mass consumerism. We always need more. Our advertising, the media we watch is telling us to be dissatisfied with what we have and we need more things. We need better things. That's the world we live in. That's the culture that we're a part of. And I dare say that culture has more sway over our hearts and our minds than what Paul is saying right here, because I cannot think of a time when I said to myself, Lord, thank you. I have food today and I have clothes. I actually don't need anything else in this life. And when we stop and we think about that, I think that's when this becomes a very challenging part of this book, because it's an untouched part of our culture, our lifestyle that we don't often think about. We're not often challenged on. And I'm not saying that nobody ever challenges us on this, but it's something that I hear very little of today. I remember years ago, there were more voices, I feel like, that were challenging this idea of mass consumerism and the way things were headed. Now we've gone down that road for so long, I feel like there's almost no voices speaking what Paul's saying here. Let's continue on. Verse 9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and in many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. First, I want to say something that many people have understood incorrectly. The quote that they have in their mind is incorrect. Many people believe that what Scripture says is money is the root of all evil. That is not what Scripture says. It's not what Jesus says. It's not what Paul says. It says here that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right? The love of money or money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We need to be very clear on that. But at the same time, again, Paul is saying something that should just punch us in the gut. How much of our existence in the West, I'm an American, I can speak very clearly for America, how much of our existence is about chasing dollars, about how to get rich, how to get famous? We idolize the rich and famous. Everyone wants to be rich and famous. We all want more money. So many people are chasing after that. And not only that, we're encouraged to do so. We're looked down on, like something's wrong with you if that's not what you're about. And Paul's saying here that that leads to destruction. That leads to pain. That leads to ruin. It's led people, he's saying, to wander away from the faith, to leave God behind, and to walk into all kinds of pain. So how is it in our culture, in the way that we live, in our context, how do we live this out? This is tough. How do we say to ourselves, I want to be content, not only with what I have, but even just with food and clothing. I'm happy that I have food and clothes. I'm happy that my kids have that. How do we live that way? And the answer I have is, I don't know. I honestly don't know. We have so much. We have so much. I've thought about this and I think I can say those words. I can say, yes, I am content with my clothing and my food. I'm happy that my kids have clothing and food. I can say that. I can say those words, but I'm not sure I can find a way to truly mean it. This culture is so deeply rooted and embedded in my heart. It's a difficult thing for me to make an honest assessment of myself to say that I don't know if I can get there. Maybe over time. I do know that we have brothers and sisters around the world to where having food and clothing for them and their family, they would honestly be content with that. The way that we live is not the way that everyone on the earth lives. Maybe you're living right now in a culture, in an environment, in a country where that's the case. And I don't think that we should be so haughty in the West, in the United States, anywhere else, to think that that couldn't be our future. It couldn't be in our future. There's been times of lack in this country in the past. And there most certainly will be times of that same kind of lack in the future. I'm not prophesying that's going to happen in the next 5 years. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that people and countries and all of these things are cyclical. And there will be times of lack for every single geographic location on planet Earth at some point in the future if the Lord tarries. That's just life. That's the history of humanity. Lack will come back at some point. The benefit is human ingenuity and desire ends up squashing that kind of lack if the governmental systems and those kinds of things allow people to rise out of that. We're really good at overcoming lack, but we're also really good at wandering back into it. And so we may find a day, I don't want to think to myself that this will never happen to me, or I may have so little, so much maybe taken away from me that I would actually find myself being happy with the food and clothing that I have. I don't want to be so haughty and arrogant to think that that would never happen. But at the same time, I know that I have so much, that we have so much in this life that it makes that very challenging. And to think about that, it's like, oh man, what would life look like for me to say that and mean it? Not just say it, but actually mean it. And if I had everything taken away from me, could I say that and mean it? And that's the really challenging part. That really is the challenging part, is how do I know inside my heart that if everything were taken away and that's all I had, that I could be content with it? And I think only walking out a life in God through constantly filling our hearts with His Word, meditating on His Word, praying His Word back to God, being in a constant prayer dialogue with the Lord, I think that's the only safe place to be, to where we can say, this is what I would truly say and truly mean in the future, if this was ever my situation. The only way to be discontent is that you're thankful to the Lord for whatever you have. And we're thankful for whatever we have, then how much money we have is not the problem, because that's the point where we can distance ourselves from the love of money. If we were to lose everything we had and being content, being happy with our food and clothing, if that was the test of our faith, if we lost it all, could we be happy with that? If our hope truly is in God and not in pleasure, comfort, and the things of this life, then I think yes. But I think this passage challenges that in us. Is that really where our ultimate hope lies? Is our ultimate hope in Jesus alone? Or is it in the comfort that we have, in the things that we have? Because one works, and one leads to death and destruction and ruin and pain, according to Paul. I pray that we will find that contentment. We will find that joy in Jesus alone. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.